Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Go to readingcivic.com where you can sign up and become a friend of the Civic for just $100. You can pre-purchase tickets before the general public, get two free drinks at the River Rock Cafe, and have ticket exchange privileges. If you're looking to be informed about some of the best concerts and events in the North State, go to readingcivic.com.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribblings, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a live edition with some recorded elements tonight. I'm Brent Weber. Thanks for joining us on Scorecard Scribblings. I am trying to get more of our past interviews up on the website and YouTube, the Scorecard Scribblings channel as well. So if you want to go to scorecardscribblings.com, you can find the link and link over and go to that playlist. You'll be able to find some more. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, talk a little bit about the interview for Dusty Baker with the Houston Astros. We're going to re-rack a really fun interview from a few weeks ago, if you missed it, with Nathan Knudsen, who is the head of the Reading Trail Alliance, and it's just very fitting time of year to hear that. And also, later on, the Wayback Machine. I'm going to talk a little bit about this may seem off the beaten path, but it is actually big wave season in surfing. And a lot of people heading out to the West Coast who are surfers looking for some big swells. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we'll talk a little bit about a couple of the greatest athletes I've ever covered over the years. And that'll be coming up a little bit later on near the end of the newscast. That'll be in the Wayback Machine. And then we'll also hear from San Francisco 49ers head coach Kyle, not Mike Shanahan, but we will hear from his press conference yesterday, I believe, about being the first father sons to be head coaches in a Super Bowl, different Super Bowls, obviously. His father, Mike, preceded him, and Kyle, as the 49ers prepare for the Super Sunday game against the Kansas City Chiefs a week from Sunday. So we'll have that in my final segment, so you have to stick around that long for my selection and to hear Kyle Shanahan. First segment, I'll talk a little bit baseball, though. It is Hall of Fame week. Derek Jeter got in, no surprise. Larry Walker got in. Glad he did. He represented a certain kind of player, and if you don't remember him, they used to call him five-tool guy, you know, head, heart, hands, speed, power. Could hit for average. I think you're only supposed to have four tools, but, you know, all that stuff. He was a fun teammate, a gamer. A little chunky, liked to throw back a brew over there at Coors Stadium, and before that in Montreal. He's kind of sad he goes in as a Rocky. Apparently his hat's going to have a Rockies on it in the hall. I think that is what I initially heard. The Expos, of course, are no longer in the major leagues, so I think that to avoid a PR fiasco or whatever you'd want to call it, Walker will probably go in as a Rocky, and Jeter, of course, will go in as a Yankee. Oh, the greatest. No Barry Bonds. Say what you will, revisionist historians. He hit more home runs in a major league games that counted in a major league uniform than anybody, and he's still not in the Hall of Fame. I know why. And because of the steroids that he said he never tested positive for. And he'll get in there. They're getting closer. Pete Rose still has never appeared on a Hall of Fame ballot. And that has always been my bust of the matter. The commissioner said back in the day, Bart Giamatti, that he would not be eligible for voting for Cooperstown. And so he has never appeared on the ballot. And I believe that he should appear on the ballot, and then the voters should either vote him in or not. And that's the way I look at it. But that's my opinion. Giants picked up 22-year-old right-hander Luis Madero. I'm wondering if they've been picking up some younger pitchers or kind of, not washouts, but guys that have been arms that have been let go by others. Jerry Blevins, the former A's pitcher and Braves pitcher, they picked him up. I'm hoping that that doesn't mean they're not going to give a fair shot to guys like Connor Menez, Bill Plummer's grandson, who he expect to hear great things about. And I'm still trying to get him on the show before the season starts. But, that, of course, questions yet to be answered. We're still about a month away from spring training, believe it or not. Now the story to Dusty Baker, 22-year major league manager, 93 to 2002 with the Giants, then the Cubs, Reds, took a couple
come
years
on.
Off.
Let's and, sit down Matt, together at the Black Bear
Whoa, come on. Hey, Carl, you just wait your turn, Carl. We'll get to you in a minute. Then managed the Nationals. Of course, he was a great player. He was one of my favorite guys back in the day to cover. Early in my career, he was managing. I saw him as a young man, as a youngster. I grew up in Atlanta, and Dusty Baker, of course, came up as a 19-year-old. I remember him telling me years later in an interview, he said the best thing that ever happened to him as a player was to get traded out of the Deep South. In those days, because they were touting him as the next Hank Aaron. And I remember him looking at me going, could you imagine anybody wanting you to be the next Hank Aaron? That's impossible. And he went on to have a very good playing career, but just knows baseball, loves baseball, good for the sport. He's 70, but acts like he's 60. He's a Sac guy, a NorCal guy. I think he lives in Berkeley now. Anyway, some members of the press caught up with him. You there? Jared, some members of the press caught up with him at the airport heading to Houston, where he was set to interview yesterday, I believe, with the Houston Astros to take over for A.J. Hinch. And he said that of the three big openings out there, the Red Sox, Mets, and Astros, he was in Houston for one reason. They're the only ones that called him. Dusty Baker.
You know, first come, first serve, and you know, everybody likes to, you know, feel that, you know, they're wanted.
Certain measures and, have been implemented to ensure air transportation
you know,
safety.
He made me feel that,
please
you know,
pay particular attention to your luggage.
Who do you know in the Astros, player-wise, or you know any of the guys? Or?
Oh, well, I know him. Yeah, I mean, I've been in a weight room with him, and,
do
you
not
know, Correa, Altuve,
individuals you do
I've
not
met
know
Bregman
well
a couple times, but, you know, I follow them all the time. I mean, they're an exciting team to watch.
Your and, these measures are
you know, I love A.J. Hinch,
Transportation
you know,
Security
I feel badly for him.
Limited the size and quantity
so
of items
trying to
that
come
may
here
be carried
and
through the security checkpoint.
Has Jim given you any kind of
please
timeline?
Please contact your air carrier or
no,
a TSA
not really.
Representative
I mean, and I don't
for
really,
further information.
You know, watch the news a whole bunch, and I don't really read the, you know, the paper, so I'm sure, you know, he said something. And, you know, I'll find out tomorrow, you know, from him, and not by hearsay. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing him and the and tonight I'm gonna have dinner with my first roomie and best friend in the game, Ralph Garr. And so I'm gonna have a good night tonight. Prepare for tomorrow.
All right, so we haven't heard anything really since then. I hope they give him a fair shot. To me, the Astros, it would be a no-brainer. You get a loved, beloved guy, a player's manager, who's going to give you positive PR right out of the gate. And hopefully they can move past whatever silliness they're still probably going to be dealing with over the electronic sign stealing garbage that went on there. Anyway, so that is Dusty. Johnny Baker talking also about Ralph Garr. Beep, beep, the Roadrunner was his roommate his first year or two in the major leagues. All right, so when we come back, we're going to listen to that interview with Nathan Knutson from the last couple of weeks to talk about the what's going on out there in the trail world. And then later on, be sure and join us. We will be back to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl and more. But when we come back, Nathan Knutson joins us from the Redding Trail Alliance. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993 and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
As we remember the anniversary of the North State fires, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service would like to thank you. Because of you, NVCSS has served over 26,000 people in the North State. Because of you, children have returned to school. Our communities are rebuilding. Families have a new place to call home. People are healing. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service thanks you. Together, we will continue inspiring hope and transforming lives.
Nathan Knutson, who's the executive director of Reading Trail Alliance. That's a big, long name, but a guy who I know is focused with keeping his hands very, very dirty, and it's a huge job. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the time that I'm able to talk to you about trails and maybe educate some people on what is going on out there.
Because no matter how long you've lived in the North State, I've been here 3 years or so and a little bit longer, and you know, whether you grew up here, the number one thing most people say when trying to endear people to the North State is, and it's so beautiful, and we have so many great trails, and we have such great mountains, and those trails don't happen magically. And one thing I've always enjoyed learning from you and seeing what work you're doing, and I want to get into some specifics, is how a lot of organizations work together to make a lot of things happen. You have to work with local municipalities. You have to work – not have to, but you work with nonprofits, organizations that are supporting individuals, state and national municipalities. There aren't many people who get things done when they have that many, but it makes it work for you guys.
Absolutely. That's so how much time do we have here?
No.
So, yeah, I mean, you said – it was funny that you corrected yourself when you said have to. No, I mean, that's kind of – Reading Trail Alliance evolved out of people not necessarily taking that step of working with those agencies to develop trails. We are – compromised of mountain bikers who have a passion. I mean, we're not just mountain bikers, mm-hmm. but we all do mountain bike. I am an active trail runner. I'm a backpacker. I'm going to be a hiker someday as I get older.
Trust me, you will.
Yeah, and as my dog gets older, I know that's just the sad reality of it. Things have to slow down a little bit. But so we did. We kind of stemmed from a background of maybe doing things not necessarily the right way because we had a passion about trails. And some of us didn't necessarily see that it was possible to work with those agencies that you're talking about. And we saw a need for an aspect of recreation that we didn't have. And what that did is it led to illegal trail building. And this isn't – it's not isolated to Reading. Mm-hmm. It's very common anywhere you go where there's an active community, especially an active mountain bike community, because an interesting thing about mountain biking versus walking and kind of trail running kind of does both spectrums. But with mountain biking, you're interacting with the trail.
Mm-hmm.
You're not necessarily interacting with the scenery around you unless you stop and take a break. And the same kind of goes with trail running. You're definitely interacting with the trail a lot more, mm-hmm. unless you're maybe like on the river trail where you can kind of zone out and look around. You know where your feet are going to be placed next. Whereas hiking is definitely more about what is your scenery around you and not necessarily the terrain. I'm just venturing to guess. So as a mountain biker, you're constantly looking for that new unique experience and that would be a new trail because you're hyper-focused on the trail. So that's where we kind of stem from. We wanted that, and we were individuals that were willing to put forth the blood, sweat, and tears to create new trails, although not necessarily the proper way. So fast forward a few years, we worked with a local foundation, McConnell Foundation. They recruited some of us to help build some legal trails in conjunction with their lead trail guide, Brian Sint. And we had a wonderful time doing it, and we developed a relationship with not only McConnell Foundation, but primarily BLM, Bureau of Land Management. And we saw that you could build trails legally. Mm-hmm. It was doable. And so that's when we're like, hey, let's try and make this thing real and official. And we got our 501c3 status. And we took that. We partnered with McConnell and BLM and just started going for it.
How many roughly miles do you think of trails you've added or carved since you guys started?
We've been kind of in a unique situation because we came off a period where they were going gung-ho, trail building for, I'd say, about 12 years solid. And we had a backlog of trails that needed attention.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but we kind of were presented some unique opportunities to take existing trails or old roads and convert them into something different. So since since our inception, we have either created or completely revamped about 5 miles of trail.
Yeah.
And but what's really neat is, so our whole goal was, yes, to add new trails, but we didn't just want to just hyper-focus on mileage of trails because Redding has... And mileage-wise, we have an abundance of trails,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to focus on adding diversity to that trail system, making more unique experiences that not only we would enjoy, but would, by word of mouth, by social media, by message boards, would travel out there into the sphere of active trail users, and they would want to, hey, let's stop by Redding because they've got these cool kick-ass, can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay, kick-ass trails. And that's why we became an organization, because we wanted to create those awesome trails. And we've been doing it. Just a real quick rundown, we partner with BLM, and we took an old road that was part of a trail loop out at Swayze Recreation Area, and we converted it into a mile-long bike park-style jump trail. So a bike park, you know, North Star, Whistler, Bachelor, you go to these bike parks and you ride a lift to the top, and you come down, and they have these hyper-groomed trails where they berms and big jumps and just really unique features. So we were able to create that style of trail in this old roadway, which was essentially an old mining road, and it's the reception of just that. And all that trail was 1 mile long. So the reception of that one trail that we did in 2017 has been mind-boggling. I'm out there working in Swayze pretty much every day now, and especially with the holidays,
mm-hmm.
I have seen almost daily somebody from, like, British Columbia, Oregon, Washington. People have learned organically about these awesome trails, and there's just a few of them, but it's enough to entice people to stop by and check them out and ride them. And they keep coming back. Like a few of the people I've talked to, they're like, oh, this isn't our first time here. We heard about the Enticer. We came, checked it out, and so we love it. And it's a great winter destination. These other people's trails are under snow, and so they can come here and ride.
ReddingTrailAlliance.org. Facebook, you have a big presence there. You guys are on Instagram, too?
Absolutely, and yeah.
Talking to Nathan Knutson, Executive Director of the Redding Trail Alliance. And one of the other benefits to me as the evolutionary combination. Everybody's got to keep working together on this stuff for it to continue to, you know, grow in ways that make it sustainable as an industry or across industries being, you know, whether it's tourism or whatever, is that, you know, by downplaying, as it were, the illegal trails and making more of the other ones safe, strong, interesting, is that you can also you go to one place. You guys use Trail Forks a lot as an app, but you know, I use All Trails. These kinds of things, you can be, as you said, coming in from Missouri and just be wanting to, you know, do a nice mellow bike ride, and you can find that stuff now, and that's really great for us.
Absolutely, that's a really good point. You can, especially when they are legal trails, because the access to information about them is more readily available. And then what we're finding with legal trails is we as an organization, you know, we have gained leverage and power, if you will. Not, I don't know if power is the right word, but the ability to take care of these trails.
Right.
Whereas because now that we're an official organization, a nonprofit, and we're using grant money, we're using the public's money to do this, we can't go out and use that money to maintain illegal trails.
Right.
So while I have to be honest and say I do love illegal trails,
sure.
Some of them are the best I've ever ridden, but here, sadly, the ones that are illegal are falling apart. They're disappearing because we can't go out and address these maintenance issues, especially after the fire.
Right.
We've been hyper-focused on trails that are legal and that people are using, and these other ones, trails that are dear to my heart, are going by the wayside because nobody's taking care of them, and I don't have the time anymore.
Right.
So that is a huge, I would say, shows the importance of doing it the correct way.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We're talking to Nathan Knutson, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I do want to talk a little bit about the process and the work, for example, after the car fire, because that's there's just some wonderful examples we can talk about, and it's still very horrifying to us, I think, as we live it every day when you go out there on some of those trails. Back with more. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber.
We are updating our equipment here at KCNR. If you hear a little static or perhaps some silence, we appreciate your patience as we address those issues. Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. to find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey, Brent Weber back with you on Scorecard Scribblings. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're talking about something that is dear to me and thousands of you out in the North State and many of us at different levels. I'm an older guy who moved up here, and I love the trails. I'm moving on them as fast as I can. I'm a trail runner. Now I'm probably more of a trail jogger or a trail slogger. But I did get a chance a couple of times to go out and help volunteer, but that's only a couple of times, a few hours with the folks from the Redding Trail Alliance and Nathan Knudsen, who's my guest tonight. And I just want to say thank you for the work that you and everybody, Tony Lewis, all the folks that are part of Redding Trail Alliance have done and are going to continue to do.
Well, thank you for saying that. I get thanked all the time, and I feel bad for people thanking me because I feel like I'm in a very unique, awesome position to do what I do. So while I know people are appreciative of what we're doing, I don't feel like necessarily I deserve any special recognition because it's awesome. I mean, I love working on trails. You talked about getting our hands dirty earlier. I mean, that's just, I live for it daily.
Yeah, first Saturday of 2020, what year is it? You had a good group out working.
Yeah, that was really exciting. It was so going forward, we're every first Saturday of the month, as long as it doesn't rain, we don't do trail work in the rain per se. So every first Saturday of every month, we're doing an official volunteer day, and we had our first one this last Saturday, and we had 40 people show up. It really scared me because I'm like, what are we going to do with all these people? But we had some wonderful trail crew leaders, and we just divvied up in groups and went out and had a really good time, got a lot done. And then we had lunch. We had some holiday sandwiches, some adult beverages, some non-adult beverages. And, yeah, it was a really good time.
And what if someone does want to join the volunteering? Because I want to say from my standpoint, you don't have to be a hardcore mountain biker. You don't have to be you can just be a regular person that loves the trails, and you're going to learn a lot and have fun. How do people go out there and join the fun?
Absolutely. So to answer that question quickly is you would go to readingtrailalliance.org, go to the contact form, say, hey, I want to help out, and then I put you on our email list. To emphasize what you said about not having to be a hardcore mountain biker or trail user, at our last work day, we had, and I'd say our age range was probably from an 8-year-old or 7 or 8-year-old all the way up to people in their 70s and all types of trail users. So, yeah, and we had a really good time.
I know when I've been out there, I had a really great time. Now, the sobering aspect of what you're doing and what you've been doing comes to us all. I go back to thinking about the car fire and afterwards. One place particularly, and I don't want to just focus you on talking about that unless you want to, But one place where we saw it in terms of trails most devastatingly were the West Side trails that had been worked so hard, and they just became a charcoal glass factory. I mean, it was so horrible. It was not the same place. And yet, what did you guys see? When did you guys begin working on trails like that after the car fire? Take me kind of through that process.
Okay, so, yeah, so after the fire, we as an organization knew that it was just going to be a little bit of time before we could get in there and start helping rebuild the infrastructure that needed to be rebuilt or address any issues like hazard trees and brush removal. But what we did get was we got people wanting the trails open ASAP. I got emails, I got direct messages daily asking what trails were open, when they were going to be open. And this was when the air was still thick with smoke, when people should not be out using the trails. So to me, it just, what it showed was how important the trails were for our community, mm-hmm. especially at that time, because people are going through such a stressful situation. Exercise and being outside is an outlet and a relief from that, and people were wanting that even when they necessarily shouldn't have been engaging in it. So what we had to do, we had to wait for the clear from these agencies, primarily City of Reading and BLM, after they had their disaster crews make sure that all necessarily hazard trees had been removed and that we were okay to go in there and start working on the trails. We worked with them to, primarily a lot of the damage was culverts had been burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
They had used a lot of plastic culverts, and those had literally vaporized. They were just bare holes in the ground with nothing in them anymore. So we went in and replaced those. A number of bridges had burned out. We replaced the bridges. And then, of course, there was the magnitude of just trees coming down across the trail and clearing those out. But as far as actual damage to the tread, the fire didn't cause that right away because mm-hmm. the fire's not going to burn dirt.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, of course, come winter, now we've lost all of our all of the grass, all of the foliage that caused erosion control mm-hmm. or helped with erosion control. That's gone now. So the water comes down, hits the ground really hard, and then can proceeds to flow across the ground at a much higher velocity, taking with it sediment and removing that sediment and blowing it across the trail. So we saw a much greater increase of damage to the trails, you know, come winter time, and that's, we're still addressing that.
I learned a lot, and I was just a fly on the wall during the, hopefully annual, if not biannual, trail summit that you guys had that came to the North State, where experts are helping you guys learn more and more and more about water flow. I mean, is this stuff that as a kid you studied, or are you just learning a lot of this from the experts in trail building and in erosion control and all the stuff that come out of the woodwork, in a sense, to want to help?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say I'm learning it necessarily from the experts. We're learning it from just being out there and seeing what is happening. We, as a group now, our trail crew, myself, we can look at a situation and pretty much understand why it's happening and doing the best to alleviate it with maintenance. There's only so much you can do with the way certain trails are built. But going forward, what we can do is we can make sure that the trails we build are built correctly and are going to be more sustainable. To go back to your point about the trail summit,
mm-hmm.
yes, we definitely want that to be an annual thing, but our goal with it wasn't necessarily to have it here because it was called the Jefferson State Trail Summit. I don't think it's going to be called that anymore because of the association with that name. We really tried to find something that really just described the great, wonderful area that we live in,
right.
which encompasses Southern Oregon and Northern California, Northern California, and how much land we have and the population density being so low. So the recreation opportunities and the opportunity to build these trail systems is so immense. So anyway, we don't necessarily want to host that again this year, mm-hmm. but we're looking to hand it over to one of the other communities that participated. And I think Weaverville is going to host it this year. And then the Redwood Coast, so Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt is going to host it the following year.
Fantastic. We were talking a little bit before a place, and again, you've been here longer than I have. You put in thousands, probably more miles on the trails than I have. But an example of trails dear to my heart and yours, the Falls trails at Whiskey Town, Kanaka Peak, things like that. We want them so badly, but Mother Nature and the fires, it's just not plausible for several seasons for that work to even begin almost.
Yeah, we were talking about how important that is for people to understand, because people see how quickly BLM, you know, worked with us to get these trails back in good condition, and they're upset. I've been getting feedback that people are upset with Whiskey Town because they think they're just sitting on their hands, not doing anything, but they are doing. They're doing a lot. But people have to understand that Whiskey Town has just addressed the situation with those watersheds off of Bali, off of South Fork, and they feel, rightly so, that they just aren't safe for people to be going in and using them. And the soil is extremely unstable. You have a lot of water movement in the winter coming down. They said they've seen rocks the size of cars, houses coming down these watersheds. So let's say they went in and rebuilt the Brandy Creek Trail. We call it the Chimney as mountain bikers, and one of our favorite trails. Say they put the time and effort to rebuild that, and it gets destroyed the next season, and it doesn't make sense. Why would they do that? So I don't blame them for not having those open yet. It's just something that they have to deal with because of the geology and the terrain that they're working with, sadly, and people do need to understand that and just appreciate what the park is doing and how much they have done to open the trails for us.
Where's the go-to spot for people that want? And it's a fair question because there are so many places. If I'm looking to find about trails, I mean, when I first moved here 3 or 4 years ago, I wind up finding 10 different websites. Can I go to one place and at least get pointed to great lists, or what's the answer there?
That's a good question.
It's tough, I know.
It is tough. There's a few, some people have definitely tried to facilitate that. I don't think it's ever been done very well. Visit Reading has them, the city of Reading has a trail map, but I keep pointing people towards Trail Forks. And I know Trail Forks, it's such a wonderful application because it is built by users like you and me. We can go in and we can edit what type of condition a trail is in. And so the Trail Forks does have what I'm getting at is the more user input, the better of an app it is. Mm-hmm. And Reading, it's continuing to develop. It's getting better and better all the time. So it's not necessarily the best, like, if you want to just see a scenic hike, but it's definitely the best as far as having all the trails in one place and finding pretty good descriptions and the types of trails that they are.
And make friends out there at the events like those you find.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's where, and I've always found that to be true no matter where I go, no matter how much effort they put into building a database of their trails or putting information online about trails, I found the best is just local knowledge, you know, calling a bike shop or just reaching out to somebody that's part of a trail organization and getting recommendations.
Nathan Knutson, it's always fun talking to you. I really do admire the work you do. I'm grateful to know you and the work that you and everyone is putting in here in the North State to make it better and better and better to get outdoors on 2 feet or 2 wheels or however you're rolling along, or four legs if we're talking about our pups. So I appreciate it, Nathan.
Well, thank you, Brent. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
ReadingTrailAlliance.org, great place to start to learn more. Don't forget, you can always check out scorecardscribblings.com, too. Back with more on the show. I'm Brent Weber. Don't go away.
the Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Everybody, welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. Thanks to Nathan Knudsen for that interview from a few weeks ago. We'll be keeping up with all the work being done. We'll try to keep you posted on the outdoor trail work. We got snow coming up. They have good snow conditions up at Mount Shasta Ski Park. I haven't been up, but it looks like things look very, very good. I was looking at some of the cams up there, so should be a good winter for you snow folks. And those who love to surf, this is big wave season, believe it or not. There are people who will slap their big surfboards on and head to the coast because of my understanding is, according to Surfline, the North Pacific swell is looking very strong through January. There's a new one hitting and getting ready to roll in and this weekend. That means it's a whole different world. It's men and women who chase big waves. Sometimes there used to be the XXL. Well, it's still a big contest and so on. But surfing is something I had the chance to cover many years ago. And, you know, you may not have ever surfed or care about it. Maybe you live in the North State and you're an outdoors person of a different way. But these are athletes who it's a lifestyle. And, you know, some of them grow up on the water, on top of the water, in the water, and so on. And nevertheless, you can't discount how great they are as athletes. And I had the chance in my career to watch a guy named Andy Irons, and he was an enigma. He was tough. He was, you could tell, he was hard to cover. Some days he'd be the nicest guy, and the next day he would just be crazy. And he had some mental issues that we didn't talk about in sports journalism. His peers didn't talk about it. And eventually he wound up taking his own life, overdosing. And this is something that we've seen happen in to many folks in sports. Lawrence Phillips died in prison, football player. We know there's a Netflix story on right now about the former NFL player.
Aaron Hernandez.
You can't help but think that the God wish also can come with a death wish. And, guys that have worked so hard when things don't go well, or they're just people, right? They may have mental problems. I'm not comparing any of those people to each other, other than to say there's mental illness involved. And in sports, just like in Hollywood, there are a lot of enablers. And I did a story not too long ago about a terrific film, and it's a heartbreaker, but it's a documentary about Andy Irons, who was a world champion surfer, but lost his life. And I'm not trying to bum you out. But this is hopefully you'll get something out of this story that I did for a show called California Life HD. Check that out. Write it down. Go on the website, californialifehd.com. I'm sure there are quite a few of my stories on there. It's a fun, very positive kind of show about our great state. This story is a cautionary tale. So the host of the show and the owner and producer of it, my dear friend, is going to introduce it. Heather Dawson, and we'll hear that introduction and then the rest of it. This is from my Wayback Machine from a few years ago about mental illness in pro sports and Andy Irons.
Well, surfing is life to millions on the West Coast, and when it comes to winning contests in California waves, nobody did it better than Andy Irons. But like so many others during what the CDC says is the worst drug epidemic in American history, his story was not finished when he died. Brent Weber explores the film Kissed by God, an effort to raise awareness about America's opiate crisis through both the surfer's gifts and his demons.
The last message Andy Irons left his wife, a nightmare.
I can't deal with this. Sick. I'm throwing up on the plane. This is hell.
He said he was so sorry for everything.
One of Hawaii's favorite sons, AI, died at the age of 32 shortly after that call from a Texas hotel room in November of 2010, losing his battle with addiction fueled by bipolar disorder, a mental illness that tortured one of the most gifted athletes of his era.
My brother was unorthodox, wild. You never knew what you were going to get.
There was sort of like two sides to Andy. There was the side where on the beach and you're friends and, high-fiving and talking rubbish and, just joking around all the time. And then as soon as the hooter went or you're paddling out for a heat, it just switched. And it looked like he wanted to kill you.
He was that guy that was just like, everything was just like, ugh! But then he did it in style and he did it with style.
Andy was all time. Even though he was intimidating, in events, but he was one of the most loving people I've ever known.
Andy Irons' Kissed by God could have been the film to show a generation there is a way to break the grip of addiction and rise above mental illness. He overcame a substance-fueled near-death experience at age 21 to claim three straight world titles. Instead, it is an important, sobering chronicle that can't be ignored.
Many people live highly productive lives, and for them, it's something that sort of hums in the background that may not be that disruptive. And that, yet for other people, it's hard for them to hold down a job. It's hard for them to form and sustain relationships. People don't understand you. You can feel different from other people. It makes it so difficult to just figure out what you need to do.
There was no write-ups about it. Nobody talked about it other than behind closed doors, I remember feeling like I wish it was exposed. Because at the end of the day, I care about people more than I care about a surf contest.
You see, Kissed by God is not a surf movie. It's a life and death movie, one that shows how a man battling his own demons of mental illness was still able to achieve greatness even as his own grip was slipping away to the opioid drug epidemic.
This stuff's real for a lot of people to see it. Someone who's like at the top of the world go through it, and it's gives me new perspective on it.
It was moving, and it made me believe more in the power of film to move and have social change.
I know that in his heart, he wanted his legacy to be, he wanted to change kids' lives. You know, he wanted to help kids get off of drugs. He told me that, you know, and I feel like if I don't get that out there, if I don't mention that and let people know that, I've let him down, because he looked me in the eyes and he said that's what he wanted.
Andy's young son, Axel, will no doubt grow up knowing of his father's global surfing legacy. But it's his wife, Lindy's work that carries on AI's dreams that Slater talks about, with her Andy Irons Foundation providing programs for young people struggling with mental illness, substance abuse, and learning disabilities. Bringing you the best of California, I'm Brent Weber for California Life. I love doing stories for them. I appreciate Heather Dawson, the host, for allowing me. Well, she kind of didn't know I was going to air that. But if you do want to learn more or see more shows, stories on like that, but on things throughout California, California Life HD, you can find it online. I don't believe it airs in our TV market. So you can see the shows online free. They are there on their website. Also, if you're interested in the Andy Irons Foundation, andyironsfoundation.org, you can learn more about it. And my understanding is Kissed by God is on Hulu right now. Jared checked that out, and I know that I bought it on iTunes for obvious reasons. I was doing a story. I wanted to be able to watch it closely, and so there's an awful lot of information there. It's relevant because this past week, another of his peers, a gentleman who is older and also a very, very tough guy named Sonny Garcia, who was one of the greats of pro surfing in the 90s, was also a former world champion. He struggled with alcoholism and some mental issues, and attempted to commit suicide, and it was last April, but it would have been his birthday this week. He is still alive. He survived. It's very difficult to get information about him, and the Hawaiian and surfing communities are so closely knit together that that no one wants to do anything to, you know, try to, you know, I don't know, benefit or make it look like they're, you know, they really are very close and closed. And, you know, I'm sure hopefully one day they'll talk more about his struggles, just like Andy's wife is talking about hers. But if you know somebody, surfer, doesn't matter, hunter, you know, just a regular person that has problems with thoughts of suicide or something like that, the National Suicide Hotline is 1-800-237-TALK. 1-800-237-TALK. I was just thinking about it with the big surfing going on and starting I thought of that story, so I kind of wanted to go there. So let's bring it back up to the Super Bowl. And it's coming up a week from Friday. Yes, down in Miami. Next week on the show, we'll talk to the executive producer for Yahoo Sports. That's right. It's a friend of mine. And Alan Springer is going to join us from Miami on the show next week. But as for that Super Bowl, we know 49ers fans, you're gearing up now for the Chiefs. And your head coach, Kyle Shanahan, was asked at this week's press conference about his feelings of being the son, part of the first father-son duo to have head coached in a Super Bowl.
It feels pretty cool. I mean, probably like you'd expect. That surprises me, but that is pretty neat. Now, hopefully, the goal will be hopefully to win one.
What did you do last night to celebrate? Were you watching any of the highlights in the background, or have you broken down the film yet?
Yeah, broke down the film. We did that all today and just finished with the players. But no, I just had a bunch of family over last night, a bunch of friends from high school and college, and my whole family, my wife's whole family, and it was pretty cool. Got home a little bit later, took a while to get out of here, and took a while to calm down, though, from the excitement of the night. But it was nice to just be able to hang out in the house and reminisce on a bunch of things. Usually most people just making fun of me most of the time, and you making fun of people back, but it was a good time.
And that's Kyle Shanahan. They will be heading Sunday down to Miami for their matchup with the Chiefs, and don't want to run out of time. We have about 30 seconds, and I got to tell you, I love this 49ers group, but I think the Chiefs are more ready. They come out of the weaker AFC. I understand that. And defense wins championships. I know I say that. With that, I like the 49ers, but the Chiefs' offense is special. So I'm going with the Chiefs. Sorry, Niners fans. Hope it's a close one wherever you are. Make it safe. Have fun. And enjoy yourself. But that's a week away. We'll see you next Wednesday night. Thanks to Nate Knutson. Thanks to Jared King for being my producer. Thanks to you for joining us. Catch more on scorecardscribblings.com. Have a great week, sports fans.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.